This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's all about emotional masturbation. Yeah. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison...
I can't be mad at you. You get a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
Vocal tests. Look, I told my...
Where do I look?
At me.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Stop spacing out. Back down to earth, man. I told my wife that I... Well, it was her suggestion, actually. Okay. And I think I'm going to go with it. We're at like 24 seconds. Just began the episode. I think I want to give us a 10-minute cap on the Hobby Lobby thing.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to devolve into what certain conversations of that nature have devolved into in the past.
Yeah.
Those that are frequent listeners of the show will know what I'm referring to.
Yeah. Just yelling at each other.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. Anyways, but before we get into that, welcome to Give That Some Thought, Tripod Broadcasting's flagship show. My name is Addison Todd. Joining me is my co-host, a man who is a corporation, not a person, Matt Hume.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Addison. Hello, everybody out there in audio land. Yeah, we're going to keep it short on the Hobby Lobby stuff today, even though we both do have strong opinions, and we've talked about this a lot in the past.
My opinion is less strong than it was before.
Yeah, okay.
I see, I'll tell you this, I see a little bit more of both sides now.
Okay.
And so which I know is still going to piss you off because you still only see the one side, but I see
that's not the case at all.
That presupposition.
No, I see both sides. I do. I see both sides. I only agree with one of them because only one of those sides is correct.
Okay. All right. But, all right. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, here's something that I don't think you might not know, and okay. I didn't know until I read it the other day. And this, for me, this is kind of a little bit of an extra that I don't think a lot of people that know, when they see the decision and like remark on Facebook or whatever about it, or they just say, remark to somebody, I don't know that they know this. And so I think it's interesting to note. But Hobby Lobby, according to their healthcare plan as it stands right now, covers birth control. They cover contraceptives. The mandate, what was brought before the Supreme Court, was so they wouldn't have to cover the morning after pill, mm-hmm. which they believe, according to their beliefs, is
a form of
an abortive pill. Right,
yeah.
Right. That's what I don't know that a lot of people understand. I didn't know that, like I said, until yesterday, 2 days ago when I read it, and I was like, oh, really? That's interesting. And I also think that's what helped me see a little bit of both sides, because if you don't believe in that type of contraceptive, like I don't think you should have to pay for it for your employees or whoever.
Mm-hmm. But it's not about it's not about religious freedom. It's not about pro-life or pro-choice. This entire Hobby Lobby thing,
right,
is all about shooting down Obamacare. It's all about overturning Obamacare. That's what it is.
Who doesn't want to do that by
Washington
now, though? Anyways.
Washington Post article.
Like, isn't everybody on board to shoot down Obamacare, except the people that run healthcare.gov?
So this whole Hobby Lobby thing was funded in part by Beckett.
Viewers like you?
No, Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty.
Okay.
So here's the statement from Lori Windham, who's an attorney for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty.
For on this case? Yeah.
The death knell is sounding for the HHS mandate. Okay. For the
Obama yeah, see, that's not
mandate.
What it's about to me.
Okay.
So
this was one of the funds, one of the major super PACs, if you will,
uh-huh.
who were trying to overturn this, which is what Republicans did, what these corporations did to give all this money to funds like these, which were then, in turn, funding attorneys to fight for Hobby Lobby. See, this wasn't Christians rising up.
Right.
To defend Hobby Lobby. Corporations were rising up to defend Hobby Lobby.
Right.
Because if a corporation can have has religious rights, mm-hmm. then it can form any religion it wants. Are you kidding me? The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster and the Church of the Jedi are recognized.
Both churches that I have attended.
Yeah, and are recognized around the world and have religious protections in some countries.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Like, yeah, if, see, you, and that's the
so,
other side
so
to me.
You,
because...
You, What you can do is you can set up a religion,
mm-hmm. and then provide or not provide whatever you want,
whatever rules you want, and then you fight for those religious liberties or as a corporation,
right? And that's the part that I'm not okay with. And I saw something.
I mean, it's the same logic that says, you can have sex with man, you can have sex with an animal. It's that same logic, but still, it's a slippery slope, okay?
Right? Right. Well, I saw something on Twitter the other day where somebody was like, and this honestly kind of cuts to the core of it. I'm paraphrasing, but I think it said something along the lines of, the irony is that you don't believe that your boss should be able to make these decisions for you, and yet you want them to pay for it.
Yeah.
So even going back on the individual level, it is, and that's kind of the whole gay marriage thing to me. Like, I don't, to me, whether you're gay or not, that's your own business. And you have to answer to your God for that, you know, whether you believe in him or not.
Okay.
You know, and so I don't care, and I don't think the government should make any rule about marriage. And I kind of, I think on this thing, land on that side.
Let two men get married if they want.
Or don't let the government make mandates on marriage because it's an individual.
Well, the only reason they had to make mandates on marriage
is because it's a tax thing.
Well, no. Well, yes, that, because they're taxing everything that you do, but also
right.
But it's because straight people, the religious straight people out there,
right,
rose up and said, "Oh no, we don't want that happening."
Right,
and they protested.
And it's none of their business.
Since the 1960s, gay couples have been getting married. It just wasn't recognized by the state.
Right,
and once they wanted those same tax protections that straight people had. Or straight marriages had.
Right.
That's when straight people stood up and started protesting, and that's why they couldn't get them.
Right.
So it had nothing to do with the government saying no. It was other people who said, who had religious objections.
Right. Well, and to me, that's how this thing is. Like, do I know that abortive-type contraceptions are available? Yes. I know that abortions are happening? Yes. Do I agree with them? No. Would I ever console anyone or not allow, but, you know, give advice to anybody in my family or anyone close to me to get one or do one? No, I would not, because mm-hmm. I don't believe that it's morally right for me, right? But I'm not losing sleep over the fact that there's people doing that. You know what I mean? That's their business. That's their,
yeah,
that's between them and their God and whatever they believe in, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, this is the same kind of thing. Like, I don't, you know, it should be left up to the individual. Like, I guess I fall ultimately libertarian on it, because it's like, why does the government even have to be a part of this? Why are we even bringing these types of conversations to the Supreme Court to question the constitutionality of these types of things? Like, I think individuals can handle their business perfectly well. And if they don't, then they will die young and with a lung full of tobacco or whatever they choose to do.
So that large corporations and very rich people can get away with whatever they want under the guise of religious freedom.
That's my problem.
Or under the guise of financial freedom, which is what Citizens United was about. It was about saying, okay, I can do whatever I want with my money and corrupt everything I want with my money as long as I have enough of it. Now this is, I can do whatever I want
if I have a religious belief.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I have.
It sets a precedent for corporations having way too much influence.
Yeah.
Business having way too much influence in our modern society. And yes, that's what drives our economy. An economy is what helps to keep a society going, but it's not all that helps to keep a society going.
You need individuals too.
Help to keep economy or societies going. Stable governments help to keep society going.
Neither of which we have, arguably.
Good resources help to keep a society going.
Right.
A decent moral compass helps to keep society going.
Right.
Okay.
In closing, I will say this. I got just as upset yesterday as I was flipping through Facebook or Twitter or wherever. I got just as upset as my Christian friends who were like, praise God for the glorious victory that Hobby Lobby. I got upset at those.
Yeah.
And I got just as upset at the people that were like, women lost a huge battle today. I got just as upset because to me, those are side personal issues that have nothing to do with what's really going on.
That great point, because what I was thinking is that it's just like Democrats versus Republicans.
Exactly.
It's about making people pay attention to our side versus their side, and us versus them, when it's everybody versus the singular interest groups.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Versus people in Washington, lobbyists and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, people who might do it professionally, but then people who might do it as a side gig, just, you know, something as they do to fill up their spare time,
right?
Like a hobby lobbyist.
I don't, and again, to reiterate your point from a few episodes ago, I don't know how many hobbies you can do in a lobby. I don't know that there are many hobbies available in lobbies.
People watching might be one, you know.
Perhaps, depending on the lobby.
Reading magazines that don't necessarily belong to you would be number two.
Lobbies always have the worst magazines.
Oh, yeah.
They really do.
It's always like Woman's Day and Men's Health.
And neither of which, yeah. I'm not a healthy man, and I don't care about a Woman's Day.
I'm not interested in what women are doing during the day.
Nope. It's what, never mind.
Because we have much more fun together at night.
I knew you were going to go there. Anyways, well, a nice handshake, uh-huh. Hatchet officially buried. I'm glad we see eye to eye on
no,
that.
No, I didn't. We shook her hand on part one, but I just want to bring one thing up for people to listen.
You've
to
got
people
like
to
2 minutes
consider.
Or a minute.
Can Hobby Lobby go to heaven?
Perhaps.
Seriously.
Can Chick-fil-A?
Can
One-Way Bookstore.
Exactly. Can Chick-fil-A go to heaven?
Maybe.
Can the business? Can Hobby Lobby go to heaven? Can the Hobby Lobby achieve nirvana?
I mean, I think they have in the last couple of days. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure the corporate offices of Hobby Lobby are just elated right now.
But no, you can't. Hobby Lobby can't go to heaven.
Yeah.
So how can Hobby Lobby have a religion? How can Hobby Lobby therefore have a religious protection?
Yeah.
It's stupid. We know that all dogs go to heaven, but I'm sorry, Mr. Businessman, all businesses do not go to heaven.
No, they do not.
No.
Only the ones that serve our Lord and Savior.
Right, yeah. That's it.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's, like I said, there's two sides to it. I see them both, and I really think that even the two extremes of that, like the whole, you know, women lost a huge battle today and praise God for the victory. Those are both not how you should be looking at it.
Yeah.
Truthfully. I mean, no matter which side you tend to fall on or think that this is maybe a good idea or a bad idea, you should look a little deeper as to what's going on here.
Yeah. And I don't think that, like, that Jesus would look at it as a victory. First off,
I don't know that he would.
I know he wouldn't.
First of all, I think if Jesus was in America, which, there's a lot of things we would need to discuss there. But I think if he was in America, I don't think he would give a rip about the Supreme Court.
Probably not.
The Supreme Court, I feel like the Supreme Court is the type of place where he would like tip over the money changers' tables.
Yeah.
Like that's if any attitude he had towards something like the Supreme Court or Washington, that's what it would be.
Sure.
Like I don't think he would I don't think the things that they write and say and do, he would be like, this I approve of or this I don't. Which bugs me to no end that his people are so into what comes out of Washington.
Yeah, well, I mean, was
like,
he,
your kingdom is not of this earth, right? Do people realize that, right? Like, no Washington is ever going to write into power or whatever you want to call it. No Washington is going to write out the perfect Christian government.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't. It's just not, it's an earthly kingdom, right? Like, Jesus said he wasn't all about that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Jesus wasn't asking the Sanhedrin what they thought about his miracles?
Nope. He was walking through the field with his disciples picking barley, which they said not to do.
Yeah.
Cracking it on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And who doesn't like some cracked barley on the Sabbath?
Yeah. He was walking casually, opening and closing his hand. Too much work on the Sabbath.
Right. Exactly. Well, he did heal somebody, too, which they're like, well, that's too much work. Too much work.
Made some mud pies on the Sabbath.
Yeah. Anyways, that was a good discussion. 13 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Just right about done.
Yeah.
Very nice. What else do you have? What else did you bring to the table? Because I figured that would almost fill the whole thing.
I'm
glad it didn't. Yeah.
And then you decided to cut it off at 10 minutes?
Well, I wanted to set that as a precedent, so like 35 minutes in, I could be like, okay, let's dial it back.
All right. Well, I don't have
that was good.
I don't have a specific news story, but are you following this ISIS stuff over in Iraq
at all? A little.
It's a group.
Update me.
Okay, it's a group of insurgents, and
we need some insurgents here in America.
Well,
can we just say that real quick? Like, there's always insurgents in these other countries that are upset with government and willing to do something about it. But here in America, we're all just like, I'll tweet some more about it.
Yeah, violence is a last resort, but it's just they're very violent right now because their governments aren't in control. So I mean,
right.
When the government controlling you is on the other side of the world, you kind of have to be a little bit violent. But they've taken over like Baghdad, northern or? Northern western northern and eastern Iraq.
Okay.
Or maybe western, I don't know.
For religion or against something or what's...
Oh, no, definitely for religion. I believe they are Shia.
Okay.
Although they might be Sunni, I'm not sure. I think they are Shia, Muslim, and they believe that their leader, the guy who's leading them, is the spiritual successor to Muhammad.
Oh, okay.
So he
It's been a while since we've had one of those.
Yeah. So basically he is sub-Messiah, pretty much. Okay.
Okay.
But he would be the Islamic leader of the world to them. They've taken over northern Iraq, and there's nothing the Iraqi army can do. Like, they're running away, throwing down their weapons, like getting rid of their uniforms when they see him coming.
Like, just because they just don't want to deal with it?
Just because they've been able to take over so much of Iraq so quickly. They have such a religious fervor around them.
Right.
And they're talking about not over... See, they started in Syria.
Okay.
They started in Syria, and then they started taking over Iraq. So they're in, like, I think, Assyria, part of Afghanistan and Iraq. No, they're in Assyria, part of Iran and Iraq.
Okay.
Because Afghanistan is on the other side of Iran. Anyway, so they're in three different countries, and they're taking over this entire huge area, and they've been going south into Iraq, and I think their goal is to take over the whole country.
And one day the world.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really interesting how that country has now gotten out of control. Like,
Iraq.
Like, yeah, American soldiers are still there.
Yeah, why are they? Why are they?
Well, they still have bases there.
But I thought like Obama promised this, like his first term of presidency, like it's all going to be done.
Yeah,
so what's going on?
There was a troop withdrawal, and we are quote unquote out of Iraq. But we still have bases there with thousands of troops there.
That's my question. Why?
Because when we invade a country, we don't leave. We haven't left a country we invaded since World War I.
New plan. Mr. President 2016. Pick up all of those guys, just one big airlift, and drop them just right on the border.
Yeah.
We still have to Mexico.
We still have bases.
Just chase all the brown people that are trying to come over that shouldn't.
We still have bases in...
Problem solved.
In Japan.
Keep their paychecks the same. No big deal.
Yeah. In Korea, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Germany.
So we just go there, kick the crap out of people, and then just hang out. This is where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus would totally do that, too.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're still there, but they've taken over the northern part of the country. And they've basically kicked the Iraqi army out wherever they go. And
just no questions asked. Just, we're here, you guys aren't.
Yeah. Well, the Iraqi army has been fleeing before them. Like, literally taking off their uniforms, ditching their uniforms and weapons, and GTFOing.
I got to dodge.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's interesting because the Iraqi army just took shipment of 5 jets that they bought secondhand from the Russians. And these are American-made jets. And... as soon as I saw that news story, I looked at him like, this terrorist group, ISIS, they're going to have jets soon.
That we sold to the Russians at some point.
And then the Russians sold
to them or whatever.
To the Iraqi army.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going
to
have jets
soon.
It's
a great world
to live in, kids. And I'm like, okay, so now all they have to do is be recognized by the Iranian government, and then they have jets with a nuclear warhead. Then all of a sudden Islam is
a pretty powerful one. Yeah. Why did you have to bring this up?
When a third of the world is Islamic, and if you have a major religious leader rise up, and corporations have religion now, we are headed. World War III is going to be over religion.
Oh, I think that's been...
I mean, World War II was over religion to a certain point.
Yeah, World War
III
is going to definitely be over religion. I think that's been...
ethnic cleansing, but...
that's been like 50 years coming. Like, after something like 9/11, like, you got to know the next big conflict's going to be over what God we're all praying to, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so...
not that we can just all stay at home and pray to our own God, not tell anybody else what God we pray to.
Yeah.
Like, that's too damn simple for people to do. Yeah.
But see, here's the thing about ISIS. They don't want to get rid of white people.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Then they got my vote.
They
want
to kill Sunnis and the Jews.
If they get to all the Jews, we're not going to have like good movies and stuff. Like, at a certain point, you start killing off enough Jews, man. Let's be honest. The Weinsteins, like, what's going to happen to Hollywood, man? Then you're just going to have Michael Bay running around putting out Transformers.
Harvey Weinstein hasn't made anything good in years.
We're going to have 3 Transformers movies a year. Is that the world you want my son to grow up in, Matthew?
No. That's going to be our world. We already have 4
3 Transformers a year, Iranian jets with warheads just patrolling the skies, and drones that peep in windows, if you recall from last episode. Yeah. Just drones that are trying to see some thigh and Iranian warheads.
Yeah.
And 3 Transformers movies a year. It's a brave new world. Welcome to America.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's really quite interesting to realize what's happened in that area of the world.
In the last 10 years?
Well, with and without government American intervention. And it's just like we spent 10 years over there. We spent, 2002 to 2013, so 11
like
years.
11 years, yeah.
13 years.
Not only that, but I've said it on this show before and I'll say it again.
And it's not solved anything.
Exactly. And the thing is, the amount of religion and culture that those people have, because we in America, we think we have culture because we have like Dr. Dre and iPhones, but like we don't understand culture like...
That's flash in the pan.
Right. We don't understand culture like an Iraqi person understands culture.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like someone from 4,000
years
or Pakistan.
Worth of...
Exactly.
From, yeah. For someone who is Persian.
Exactly.
Like 4,000 years of...
Of just inbred...
Well,
culture
inbred
and,
is not.
Well, no, I don't mean inbred in like the hillbilly kind of like. I mean inbred as
ingrained
in bred
culture,
in them. Right? Yeah, and we constantly think we meaning the West, you know, all of us, especially after 9/11 and everything. Like we think that you know, okay, something catastrophic happens, and so we can just shake them up a little bit, give them a little bit of the West, and they'll be fine, and they'll just take democracy and capitalism and run with it.
And
that's not true.
No,
like it's almost like. And this is a weird segue, but I told you before we started the show, and I've been texting you about it. I've been watching a lot of Sons of Anarchy, you know, and how they kind of run the town, and how it's like anybody the new that comes in town, or anybody even on like the sheriff's or with the police department or anything, like you know, they're like, oh, we gotta do something about Sam Crow, and it's like, no, this is the way it is in this town,
yeah,
right, like that's how it is there, you know what I mean? Like they have AK-47s and goats, and they're always going to try and blow up the people that they don't like. And they're always going to fight over how they pray to the same God. And there's nothing the West or a couple iPhones or a few bombs that we drop on them is going to do about that, right? You're not going to erase just, like you said, 3,500 years of the way it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we keep trying. But.
Because we're looking for new customers.
Is that it?
That's exactly it.
That's probably it.
We're trying to expand our customer base. Because if you can bring Western culture to every corner of
the
world,
stop buying debt. Just keep selling to them.
If you can bring Western culture to every part of the world, then you can make money from every part of the world.
Then everybody's wearing Nikes.
Yeah,
yeah.
A goat herder in Afghanistan isn't making you any money, but if you make him live in the suburbs and shop at malls and wear Reebok,
yeah,
and
then suddenly
have a mortgage,
yep,
right, and have credit cards.
Suddenly you're making money off
of him. You're making 25% off of him.
You'd make a great businessman, Matt.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I'd be jaded and killed myself by now. If I had been a business major, I would have killed myself by now.
Yeah.
I would probably be that jaded and just...
3 classes in, you would have hung yourself in your dorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, no. I probably, you know, I don't know. It wouldn't be pretty. It's not what I meant to do.
Yeah. Anyways, since this is the show...
I wouldn't be very good at it anyway, I don't think.
About being a businessman?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you're not
so.
Good at this business. You're
no,
always like,
I'm
hey,
not.
Addison, pick me up drinks. And I'm like, okay, man,
I didn't ask
those
you to pick
free.
Me up drinks.
No, that's true. This time you didn't ask. I just brought that out of the goodness of my heart.
You were just like... Yeah.
A lot of times you asked, but this time you didn't.
Well, not all the time.
This one's on the house. Yeah. Keep you coming back.
Thanks, bud. Thanks, babe.
Anyways.
Might be a little cold. The cooler's off.
Let's roll into something else. Kind of want your opinion on this. Kind of want just a general statement. President Obama has ranked number 1 in a new poll from Kennepack Quinnipiac? How do you say that?
Quinnipiac.
Thank you. University. 33% of American voters ranked him the worst president since World War II. Did you see this headline?
No.
Really? Yeah, it's brand new. 33% named Obama the worst president since World War II, topping his predecessor, George W. Bush, who earned 28%.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, George W. Bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was at 28%.
And Obama is at
Barack Obama is at 33%.
Who say that he's the worst president ever?
Yes.
Hmm. Or since World War II?
Since World War II, yeah.
Yeah.
54% of American voters say that Obama's administration is, quote, not competent running the government, and 53% of Americans disapprove of how Barack Obama is, quote, handling his job as president. Over the span of 69 years of American history and 12 presidencies, President Barack Obama finds himself with President George W. Bush at the bottom of the popularity barrel, said Tim Malloy, assistant director of the Quinnipiac University poll. Would Mitt have been a better fit? More voters in hindsight say yes. In hindsight say yes. That's the part that bugs me.
Yeah.
Really? I don't think he would be. I mean, I don't know. I don't.
Nothing would have been different.
I don't think so. I really don't.
It's just
a different name on the same name.
A different image. It would change the image, change the perception.
On the same financial game.
Yeah.
Yeah. When asked who the best president had been since World War II, Ronald Reagan came in number one with 35% of the total, followed by Bill Clinton at 18% and John F. Kennedy with 15%. I would almost agree with that. I know you're going to have a big problem with Reagan being number one, but I don't have as big of a problem with Bill Clinton as a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. I think he just thought with his dick when he shouldn't have.
See, here's the thing. Reagan started
the
snowball. The snowball we're in right now, this avalanche.
Well, historically.
This avalanche that's of
because he gave Osama bin Laden a bunch of AK-47s to fight against the Russians.
No, not just that, but all the economic things that he put in place.
He did start arming the Taliban, though, right?
Yeah. But then the U.S. and the British and a lot of other governments around the world had been
arming militants
in the Middle East for a long time.
Why can't we just go back to that? Pull all the people out and just start handing them weapons that are not going to reach us. To just let them handle their own business. Whoever knows how to militarize that the best and organize that is going to be the winner.
The whole problem
is... It's your society. Do what you want.
After the fall of the Ottoman Empire, pre-World War I, you had these British governments that...
The Ottomans rided. They rode elephants, didn't they?
I'm sure at some point. There's been a lot of different people who've ridden elephants.
I just think in... The Age of Empires. In Age of Empires, I think the elite unit for the Ottomans was the elephant.
Okay.
If I recall,
what else about Age of Empires gives you great historical insight?
I did play through Attila the Hun, mm-hmm. that campaign. Mm-hmm. I played through Joan of Arc. That one got boring.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's just one chick who thinks she's the Messiah. Yeah. I played. Let me see. I really like. The Celtics had their elite unit was...
You're being 100% serious right now.
Yeah.
Being facetious.
You didn't play this game?
No.
Age of Empires is the best game ever to be released for a computer ever. It will never be topped, no matter what video game comes out.
Trying to have a serious discussion about history and how it affects...
Well, anyways, so the Celtics had...
culture of the world today.
What it was the Woad Raider, and it was these guys, they had striped pants on, and they were amazing, and they just come up like with these axes and just start hacking. It was great.
Yeah.
Cool. I could go into more elite units. One had a camel. I can't remember. The Turks, I think, had the camels.
Yeah.
Turks that they rode on.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really remember any others right now. It's been forever since I played that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. It is where the majority of my high school history came from. So, go ahead.
Cool. Homeschooled.
It was very historical.
Yeah. Right before World War I, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, there was a redrawing of the...
Some of the lines.
The lines... of borders in the Middle East. And you had Iran that got formed in Iraq and all these other countries.
Right.
That were pretty much just drawn around resources and not around people groups. And that's where all this fighting comes from.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's all about the resources that are in the country and not about the people groups
that make up that region.
That make up those regions.
Right.
That actually people groups make up a country.
Right.
Anyway.
So why not? Or let's just do that again. Just redraw them and just give a blank slate and tell the region as a whole, like pick out four or five like religious leaders or whoever and just say, look, in 10 years, we're coming back to you and we want country boundaries so the rest of the world knows what's going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. For right now, NATO, the UN, we're not going to give a crap what you do. Okay. You got 10 years to sort all this crap out.
What happened?
The strongest want to win. Survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah, but that would never happen because the West would never allow
them to
redraw lines around resources when they already have contracts in places with these dictators of these countries and with the governments of these countries for trade agreements for this and that and the other.
So what's the answer, Matt? I've provided several viable solutions, all of which you shot down.
What? Which ones? No, I don't know that there's a clear answer.
Or are you one of those?
These are problems that the world is having that we are struggling through, and if we can get through them, maybe we can come a better place to live and make the future bright for our children. No.
I was going to say, hold on, is that a hopeful Matt I see?
No, but
take him right back where he came from.
Seriously, he's not funny.
No, he's not. I'm going to go hyper-religious here real quick.
Okay.
I really do. I was told a long time ago in a class about religion and worldviews and things like that, that the way humanity is going to exhaust itself,
mm-hmm.
and those are my words, not theirs, it will be between Christianity, Islam, and secular humanism.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, atheism, other beliefs. It's kind of a shame to lump them all in there, but those are the three main ideological points of view that will exhaust humanity and take us to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that or no?
I don't think so.
Because those are the three that won't let go.
Yeah. I think that
if that makes sense.
Well, I think that a religious war is probably the most probable way mm-hmm. in which humanity will, as you said, exhaust yourself, which I like that terminology.
Exhaust itself, yeah.
Yeah, if there's a World War III in our lifetime, it'll probably be over religion.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be those three?
It'll probably be Christianity and Islam, because they're the most militant. I don't think it'll be secular humanism, because I don't think secular humanism as an ideology as a dogma is powerful enough. I think business is much more powerful.
And see, so, I think that's secular humanism, though.
No. I wouldn't call it secular humanism. I would call it just indifference. When you're looking at the bottom line, you're not looking at your philosophies, what your philosophies do to reflect. When you're looking at the bottom line.
Right.
So I would say maybe secular humanism, or maybe Islam, Christianity, and selfishness.
Okay.
And they're selfish.
I would buy that.
But I would say it's Islam versus Christianity because there's selfishness on both sides.
Oh,
I
sure.
Think any
there's selfishness in Islam, too.
Any Christian who goes to war with someone who's Muslim because they're Muslim is being selfish.
Sure, yeah. And on the and not to play favorites, but Islam has a lot of that going on for itself, too.
Yeah, and ultimately, I don't think it's...
If like the whole wanting to run the world thing.
A Christianity, a church that goes to war with Islam isn't the real church, aren't real Christians, so I would say that no, it's consumerism, trash culture.
Yeah,
I think it would be the culture of the West versus Islam, or the culture of the East.
Yeah,
would maybe you Islam say, and China.
Let me ask you this: you said a church that
it would be West versus East.
I had a question about religion. Shoot, it's completely gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, what you were saying about not a real church and not real Christians.
Yeah, any have a Christian army to rising up.
Here's guns. My question.
Okay,
legitimate question.
All right,
little off the wall. Is there a valid scriptural reason for Christians to take up arms and go to war? And if so, what do you think it would be?
No,
not ever.
No.
Not ever under any circumstances is there a reason to go to war.
Not under the New Covenant. Not really under the Old Covenant because it was always God.
It was theism, yeah.
Who led them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Christianity is theism, but...
Well, but the always... Old Covenant was a theocracy where God was telling the people what to do.
Well, it still is.
Yeah, but not so much as like a pillar of fire and like...
Yeah.
We have way more individuals that are way more open to interpreting the Holy Spirit than we did before.
Sure,
like before it was like, he's going to tell the high priest what's up and we're all going to do it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, the Holy Spirit tells me that God hates facts. Yeah. So,
well, here's the thing. If you're a Christian, then here's what you should do when it comes to a religious war.
Okay.
If someone asks you to fight for Jesus, you should say,
okay,
let's see what Jesus has to do. Or do this. Someone asks you, pick up arms and fight for Jesus. We want you for Christ's army, right?
Right. Okay.
Someone asks you to fight for Jesus.
Right.
Be like, Jesus can fight for himself.
He is pretty powerful.
Because does it not say in the Bible that when he comes back, he will come back as a conqueror?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Like, when he comes back, it will be to wage war.
And to finish it all anyways.
Right.
Right.
So, before Jesus left, and from what we read from the New Testament, he pretty much said,
I got this.
Next time you see me, I'll win the fight. We're not going to war, okay? Christians won't be going to war. You won't be going to war,
right?
All right, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not has well nothing said. To do with a Christian fighting. So if you believe in the Bible, if you're a Christian, yeah, you're not going to be fighting anybody. Or you
Very
shouldn't
well
want
said.
To fight anybody.
Very well said.
So let's not. Yeah. Who cares?
From the lips of Pastor Matt to your ears, listener.
Yeah.
I determined we weren't going to talk about God. And then we started talking. And then Matt brought up Iraq and then religious war and now this. Yeah. So here we are again.
Yeah.
But
I would be the worst pastor. The worst pastor.
I think, okay, let me put it this way. I think about 80% of the Sundays, okay, if it basing like if you were a pastor, you're having a service every Sunday, right? 80% of the Sundays would be awful. And now let me lump into those, including the ones that people expect to be really good, Easter, Christmas, Father's Day. Like those would be particularly at your worst. You'd be like, why are you out buying people iPods and cell phones for Christmas when the poor and the needy are here? Okay.
Yeah.
Those would be your worst Sundays. Like the deacon board would come to you afterwards and be like, seriously, dude, like nobody put anything in. Like what's the deal? Like shape up or ship out.
Yeah.
Now the other 20% would be these esoteric, just weird spots throughout the year. Where you'd be amazing and just spot on, like with
Brilliant.
What you had here.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Just like, okay, this guy gets it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. See you next Sunday. And then the other 80% is just total trash. Just like, I don't know. I don't understand why you're all here. Like,
it would just be a divergence of rabbit trails.
Yeah.
Through the whole sermon.
Right. But I am willing to give you 20%. 20% I think would be just great content.
Yeah.
Just really good stuff. And good, like I said, like what you just said, I think that's really accurate and very well said, because that's how it is. Like Jesus didn't say, you know, he didn't say, go forth and defend my honor until I returned. He said, go forth and make disciples, which no one ever made a disciple by punching him in the face that I know of. It could have happened.
No.
I'm willing to be open to the possibility, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Balaam got a kick.
Spoke from a donkey.
Yeah, well, Balaam got a kick in the face from a donkey, but.
But was he a disciple in the end, though? It's up for debate,
You know.
I mean,
plus, that was Old Testament, too.
And if you got to get to a point where God's kicking the face with a donkey and talking to you from a donkey, that's not a point I ever want to be in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been there a few times in my life, but that's not a point I ever want to be in. Anyways, what else have you got? You got anything else to bring to the table? Those are the two things that I had.
That's it?
Barack Obama, is the worst, and the Hobby Lobby birth control thing. I pulled up this other thing about this experiment that Facebook did. Company researcher apologized on June 29th for a test in January 2012 that altered the number of positive and negative comments that almost 700,000 users saw on their online feeds of articles and photos. Disclosure of the agreement prompted some members to express outrage on Twitter about the research as a breach of privacy. Regulators may want to examine whether Facebook users should have been informed of the experiment and what the company's purpose was in collecting the information.
What were they doing now?
It just says, oh, okay, Facebook is being investigated by the UK's Data Protection Authority after a study showed a psychological experiment influenced what users saw in their news feeds, raising fresh privacy concerns. So I think what happened is they changed what people would see
mm-hmm.
based on, like, versus positive and negative stuff. It just says that altered the number of positive and negative comments that almost 700,000 users saw. So these are all comments that are there. And then because if a story gets a ton of comments, I think only certain ones are displayed by default.
Yeah.
You can kind of access the rest of them. But by default, if you just see it as a flash in the pan as you're scrolling through, only a certain number appeared. And I think what this experiment did was change positive versus negative ones, which ones were shown.
Okay.
That's all it really says here. It's clear that people, I don't know.
So people got angry because people weren't agreeing with them online? Is that...
Perhaps. Which seems a little odd because no one agrees with anyone online.
To see whether or not they could do it? Or to see whether or not they could... Because see, it seems to me as though that's a great behavior control for people who are using Facebook.
Here's another one. Hold on.
Let's say somebody has a religious... Or somebody agrees with this Hobby Lobby case, right? And they... Facebook knows that they agree with the Hobby Lobby case based on what they've posted, and Facebook wants the Hobby Lobby thing to go through, so they only show positive or on any article they only show comments that justify the Hobby Lobby side of this case.
Right.
In order to make people agree with Hobby Lobby.
I think
make it look like everybody else out there agrees with Hobby Lobby. So if everybody agrees with Hobby Lobby, why shouldn't I agree with Hobby Lobby?
Well, see, here's something they've
been
doing.
Hobby Lobby, Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, Hobby Lobby.
Lobby,
Hobby Lobby, Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, Hobby Lobby.
Here's something that they've been doing for a while anyways, is changing the news feed based on what you supposedly want to see or don't want to see.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a little bit weird because if they still have it in place, there's a 1,000 friends cap. Or no, actually, it's 3,000, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you add 3,000 people, okay,
yeah.
Let's just, whoever you are, whatever, you add 3,000 people, there's a limit, right? If you're adding people, don't you want to see some of what they post, like, or and have them see what you post?
Yeah.
And but what they've done is they've changed the feed to where you only see things that you supposedly want to, and that decision is based on an algorithm that they determine based on your usage. So it's still kind of creepy anyways because they're looking at your usage patterns, pushing it through an algorithm and coming out with, well, they probably want to see this stuff,
mm-hmm.
whether you do or you don't.
Yeah. So they're deciding what you want to see.
Based supposedly on what you want to.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Which is kind of fishy anyways.
But ultimately, if there's something that they don't want you to see...
They would have control over that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So they're just trying to tailor what you see and what you don't see.
Yeah.
Or what they want you to see and what they
don't
want
you to see.
Well,
the weird thing is, I'll talk a little bit about this, especially with this show's page. I've paid for some advertising for the show's page because and you get sponsored things and it says so-and-so likes this and then they'll show like their most recent post and that kind of thing. It seems wildly fishy to me. I don't even know if it's breaking like the contract, quote-unquote, that I have with them for having paid for these to make these kinds of comments, and if it is, so be it.
Yeah.
But it seems weird because, like, I'll post, like, you know, new episodes online, right? And mm-hmm. it'll say, you know, because I can see how many people see it because I'm the manager of the page and that kind of thing. And it'll say, oh, 68 people have seen it.
Yeah.
Now, if I pay $20, right, to advertise that for 2 days, it'll jump up to, like, 1,800 people. Now, there's no more clicks through the link, which, to me, that's kind of what our page is there for, right?
Yeah.
I'm not selling anything on the page. I'm not looking. You can't listen to the show on the page, so... Why do you really need to go there if you're not clicking through, following through to actually listen to what the product, quote unquote, would be, our
show? Yeah.
But so you can get all these other views. And I did it a couple times, and it's kind of cool because it's like, oh, 2,800 people saw this. Like, mm-hmm. that's great. Lots of people seeing our stuff. But then no one's really following through on that. And it's just ads that people saw on their feed that no one really cares about.
Yeah.
And it just seems kind of deceptive on their part because if you don't pay, you'll get their algorithm, which is what people supposedly want to see, which whether we get through that or not is anyone's guess.
Yeah.
So, and that'll get me 68 views or 103 or whatever the number is, sometimes mm-hmm. high, sometimes low. And if not, well, then I can pay for like 8 times that or 10 times that. It just seems like a great way for Facebook to say, give us lots of money.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is, I feel like.
Yeah.
Rarely do I see a sponsor. I also say this too. And I'm scrolling through. Rarely do I see a sponsored post and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I saw that. Thank you. It's yeah. rare at best.
I didn't know you had done that.
I paid for a couple of them, yeah.
Hmm.
I proved it with the CEO, put it through. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know you had done that. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
Anymore?
I don't know. Like, it should stand on, like, it should stand on its own legs. Like, we don't...
It does. I mean, we don't... stop doing it.
We it's don't need not, Facebook advertising.
Because I don't feel like it's worth it.
No, it's... Like I just number said, one, it's not at all. Yeah. But number two, like, it's... Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I feel like if you do... And occasionally we'll post pictures or whatever to the page that are relevant yeah. or interesting. And I feel like if you want to see that, you'll go see yeah. it.
And it's not like I don't want to advertise the show. It's just I want to do it legitimately. Like with so with advertising, not, well, advertising that works.
You want to get a billboard?
What are we going to put on the billboard?
Your face.
Uh-huh.
And then feed this man for one listen every week.
Yeah. This man needs a sandwich.
We should probably put my face up there if it's going to be directly about food.
Yeah.
Because people see him and be like, that man's had too many sandwiches.
No, he does not need sandwiches.
He looks like he's about 2 meatball subs away from yeah. a serious diabetic problem.
No, what we do is we we put me up on the billboard, and we okay. get two girls with giant jugs
okay.
to like stand on either side of me, and I've got boobs on either side of my face
okay.
like resting on my shoulder.
So like a shock jock. Like
yeah, and right? then I've got a pair of sunglasses on, and I'm holding a microphone. And then under the tagline underneath just says... The three biggest boobs, or three of the big, or the two biggest boobs in podcasting, tripodbroadcasting.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. The first person who listens to this show and sends me that image, I swear to goodness, I'll put my hand on a Bible. I'm going to set that as our profile background.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
On Twitter and on Facebook.
Okay.
Like right now, it's that picture of Einstein that says, listen to Give That Some Thought with Addison and Matt, and it's uh-huh. an Albert Einstein quote.
Yeah.
Because he said that. But if you send me a picture like that and it's big enough and it looks good enough, I'll swear I'll put it as the yeah. background image.
The biggest
not a joke.
The biggest boobs in podcasting. Tripodbroadcasting.com.
Right there. I think that's probably the. I think that'll probably be our new campaign, our new okay, marketing.
Yeah,
that's how we'll change things here at Tripod.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that.
Marketing
Matt.
Genius.
Right here in front of me.
Uh huh.
All along.
So, Addison, I did some LSD yesterday. I've been working on my segues. What do you think?
They're really done well now.
Yeah.
I know you did. I
I told you about it a little bit, but I mentioned we were going to bring it up on the show.
Yeah. Wow. That was great. You killed me. You destroyed me. So, Addison. Just so matter of fact.
Well, I did.
Wow. How was that?
It was pretty fun.
Was it pretty fun?
Yeah. I've taken acid before. This would be the fourth time.
Are you sure you're okay about this in a public format? Like, what if like the yeah. cops kick in your door?
No cop is going to kick in the door because a stoner did some acid.
Okay.
By
the way, he lives at... Just hit me up on Twitter. I'll send you a DM.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. I'll send you a DM with all his information. Federal investigators. Thank you. Go ahead.
Anyway.
I'm not a rat.
Yeah, you're not at all. No,
dude, I watched Sons of Anarchy. I know what happens to rats.
Yeah.
By the way, that tattoo removal scene. Hey.
What season are you in?
Mid two.
Okay. All right.
It's a pretty good show. We need to save this. We need to talk about this on TV Teardown.
Yes, we do.
Speaking of that, on TV Teardown, here's a quick teaser. I'm going to talk about Sons of Anarchy because I started watching it. We're going to talk about Derek. Did you finish that?
I did.
We're going to talk about Derek Season 2. I'm going to talk about Orange is the New Black Season 2. It's going to be a great episode. Look for that in the next 2 weeks. I don't know when. I work a lot of hours. How was the LSD?
It was good. I've taken acid. This was the third time, or the fourth time I've taken it.
Fourth time's a charm.
Yeah. The first couple times, I guess maybe I had bad acid, or
it happens when you're buying drugs from people in porta potties.
It's one of the downfalls of having to get your drugs illegally
when you're buying substances off of ravers and porta potties. You don't know what you're getting sometimes.
Yeah. So, I took three hits of pretty decent LSD at about 5 a.m. yesterday morning. Tripped my balls until about 11 o'clock that morning, about 6 hours.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Was it?
I had a conversation. There's a frog that's on the mantle.
I've seen the frog. I'm going to post a picture of that frog to Twitter, by the way.
Yeah.
After this episode airs. That way our listeners have a point of reference.
Yeah. And,
there's a frog on Matt's mantle.
I hung out on the deck for a little while.
Had a very long conversation with the frog on the way out.
He's sitting right by the door to the deck.
Yes.
And there was definitely one time when I looked out and I saw the frog, and I came back inside and I said, "Hey, Mr. Frog, what's happening?" And I stood there for it may have been 2 minutes, it may have been 20 minutes, but I stood there having a legitimate
conversation with the frog. Yeah.
With the frog,
and it's a porcelain. Is it porcelain?
It's plastic.
It's a plastic frog. Yeah. Like I said, I'm gonna post a picture of it. It's a beautiful frog.
Yeah. But then I took a shower and I'm sitting in the bottom of the tub, looking at the light and looking through the shower door, and there's just the beads of light.
I feel like this is so glorifying drugs right now.
It kind of is, but
no, it definitely is.
No, it was a fun time. It was an interesting experience. But here's the thing, and here's the major kind of context I wanted to talk about. I'm 31.
You're an old dude.
I like smoking weed.
Yeah.
But it is not for everybody. It's not for the majority of people, I don't think. It's definitely not for anybody under the age of 20.
I was going to say, I'll
25.
Go on record as having said that. I've said it before.
Yeah.
Any substance when your brain is still developing, don't think is...
No, not at all. And here's the thing. I didn't try LSD until maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Didn't try shrooms till about 5 years ago. But my brain was developed. It was there.
Right.
And so this
now you're just trying to undo all that development.
Well, no, but now I'm an adult who knows how to afford, who can pay for his drugs, basically, who pays his bills as well, who pays his rent,
right,
who takes care of himself.
Not always on time, but it does get paid.
Yeah, exactly. But I've learned how to do these things responsibly. Like, I'm not tripping balls at work. I'm not tripping balls in a public park. I'm at home. I'm sitting on my couch.
It's the least we can expect.
There's a time to do things and a time not to do things. And for me, I had 2 days off, and I wanted to take a little mind trip, and I did. It was an incredibly great way to clear my mind, to just disconnect for a minute, to relax. And that's what I did. And it was a lot of fun.
And did it work?
Yeah. But then again, like I said, I don't think it's for everybody. I don't think it's for the majority of people. And I definitely don't think it's for anybody under the age of 25. I don't think people under the age of 25 should do drugs at
Period.
All. Yeah. Like a lot of people say pot is, you know, it's a kid's drug.
I hate that it is. It really widely is accepted as such.
That teenagers smoke pot.
I hate that. I hate it.
Yeah.
I like.
And then once you get to your mid-20s, you graduate to alcohol.
And they're just the worst developed kids ever.
Yeah.
Like if there's a poster child for marijuana and its safety or whatever, right? Like, I've seen some YouTube videos and some research done about what's the thing that Michael what's his face has, the shaky thing. The disease, Parkinson's.
Okay, yeah.
I've seen people that will smoke weed, and they're able to contain their thoughts and control their their physiological makeup after they've smoked weed. But the I hate that the poster child is like a kid smoking weed, because every, bar none, every time I've run into them, work, different workplaces, whatever, they're always just the worst kind of people.
Yeah.
The absolute worst.
Yeah.
Like, they're terrible at work. They're terrible people. They don't have their crap together at all. And I'm not saying it's because of the weed. That may just be a byproduct of it, but I don't think their brains are able to handle it. I really don't.
Yeah. They're not.
Period.
They're not. They haven't developed fully. And that's one of the dangers of drugs, is they're great. But alcohol is fun, but responsibility is temperance isn't no alcohol. Temperance is right alcohol, the right time in the right place. Okay, so temperance with marijuana, right time, right place, right amount, right people.
Right.
Any drug is like that. You know, heroin, methamphetamine, prescription drugs are much more dangerous than mushrooms, LSD, marijuana, or alcohol.
Right.
Okay. Cigarettes are the worst. But
Well, yeah, because cigarettes are just packed full of things to keep you smoking them.
Oh, yeah.
And give you a lung full of fiberglass and cancer. Like, that's just, like, the tobacco companies literally were proved lying to us for years and years and years, right? Like, it's healthier, it's filtered, it's yada, yada, yada. And now, like, anyone who willingly chooses to smoke, like, you got to know what's going on, right? Like, you can't just, you know, like, in a couple of the early seasons of Mad Men, when they're like, well, these are definitely safer, they're filtered, they're longer, they're thinner, like, all this different stuff. Like, if you think any of those things anymore, I understand back then the research wasn't really there, yada, 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 but come on, like, any thinking person these days, like, you can't accept that, right? Come on.
No.
Like, if we're thinking enough to be able to reason ourselves out of there being a God, you know, which is a big thing for me, because I hate the way people reason around God, you know, and reason him away. You know, my whole thing is that, by definition, he's God. He's not within your reason.
Yeah.
Period. But if you can reason that, you ought to be able to reason that cigarettes are going to kill you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Period. So, anyways.
Well, nicotine and tobacco in general.
Right.
Is not good for you.
So the trip was good.
Yeah. And drugs aren't necessarily good for you either.
Right.
And marijuana isn't good for you.
Right.
It's not terrible for you.
In the medical industry,
a cheeseburger is much worse for you than a joint.
But so eat joints for lunch, kids.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Smoke your lunch.
Yeah. No, but hasn't the medical industry, this has been an episode where you make a point and then I make a side point that's really good, and I'm going to do that again.
Okay.
Hasn't the medical industry for a few hundred years basically been gambling with things that are really bad in order to try and cure or help something that we're dealing with?
Yeah, throughout all of recorded history.
I mean, seriously, like we look back now and we're like, oh, they used to bleed people out. That's insane.
Uh-huh.
But you look at the thought process, okay, you have a disease. Well, let's get rid of some of your bad blood.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and
or
it's insane.
They used to give people laudanum for headaches, which is just,
exactly.
Liquid morphine, heroin.
But now we have, I saw a headline on Drudge earlier, like something like almost 300 million prescriptions for painkillers, you know, and people are addicted to those left and right.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God.
It's the biggest drug problem in this country are legal drugs. Legal drugs are the biggest drug problem in
absolutely.
This country.
Absolutely. And why are those even there? Like, well, because people have back pain and people got an accident and sprained their neck and sprained their ankles.
But
and
what
sprained
is,
their, you know what I mean? But, like, it's just a gamble to, like, okay, you feel bad. Here's something that most certainly is bad for you. And I mean over the counter, too, like ibuprofen, those kinds of things. Like, your liver has to process all of that
but
stuff.
But you know the truth about that situation.
Like,
you know, hit the nail on the head.
What's that?
Louis' doctor.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
He said, well, you're
Louis
getting old.
Season three. Or season four.
Well, my back hurts. Well.
Your back's going to hurt?
Yep. You're getting old.
Thank your lucky stars every day that you wake up and it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. It's you know, guess what? Your back's going to hurt. Because you're old.
Yeah.
Because you're 40 And that's pretty much...
You've been using it for...
The evolutionary limit.
35 years now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you've been lifting
Except
heavy
Except when
things.
You were a kid and laying on you know, your back and your stomach all the time and not using your back at all. Mm-hmm. Since you've been walking, that back's been carrying your weight.
Yeah, and they're really...
And it's a little tired.
That really annoys me is that the people say, well, it's my back. I shouldn't have to have pain with it. I shouldn't have to get old. I don't deserve that. I'm supposed to live forever and accomplish all my dreams and goals. Life's not supposed to be disappointing. Give me a pill to make me forget the pain. Give me a pill to make me happy.
To wake me up. Give me a pill to put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Give me a pill to, yeah.
Yeah. Like life is not, it's me. It's me. It's me, right? This is supposed to be my dream and where I'm the star of it. It's me. So I shouldn't have to feel pain. I shouldn't have to feel depression. I shouldn't have to do the things I don't want to do.
Right.
And so give me something to make me happy while I'm doing the things I don't want to do. And yes, marijuana and LSD is, you know what? I wanted to have a day where I had a good time. Forgot my troubles for a minute, right?
Yeah, and you did.
And but yeah, I haven't tripped in probably 2 years.
Right.
So it's not all the time. It's not something I'm constantly taking to make me forget. And right. I think there are people who legitimately need either psychoactive drugs or some of those other drugs, like, for instance, a cancer patient.
Right.
Like, yeah, let them have Oxycontin. If seriously.
Just give that mother effer a morphine drip and let him just die in peace.
Seriously, not so harsh, but
right.
same principle.
Yeah.
Some people need those drugs.
Sure.
95% of us don't.
Yeah. The people that are writing, getting prescriptions constantly don't. Yeah. And the thing that bugs me,
and
this is almost in every situation, the thing that really bugs me is when it's like, you have whatever issue it is, and here's a pill for that. Okay, doc, 2-3 weeks, that pill's really making me do this.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Well, here's a pill for that.
Yeah.
Well, and then you just keep stacking them on because the pills cause problems in and of themselves, right? Like, you have all different kinds of side effects, and then you start handing more and more to cover those side effects, and pretty soon, well, you're taking a medicine cabinet every day.
But morning, for most people night, who have prescriptions or have large prescriptions, like, it's not a one pill that they get. It's not two pills they get. It's a cocktail of pills.
Oh, yeah.
It's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 pills in conjunction that the doctor is trying to put together a specific cocktail
to get them
to
whatever,
to get them to where they don't have to feel any pain or don't have to feel guilty about anything.
Yeah.
No, that's what it, that's
and
what
guilt
it is.
Guilt is the biggest pain, kids, for
kind
our
of,
listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a psychological pain. Like,
it's a pain you'll never get rid of.
Like, you, Xanax isn't what you need. You need to resolve issues in your mind and become at peace with mistakes you made and who you are. You don't need Jesus. You don't necessarily need Jesus, but you need some sort of because I think if you just take Jesus, that's almost putting a patch over it too. That's just one more drug. You seriously, even if you are a Christian, even if you are saved,
mm-hmm.
and believe in Jesus and say, okay, I'm going to accept Jesus in my life and become a Christian and do everything in the Bible, that doesn't stop the psychological work that you need to do. You still need to dig around in your mind and find out why that you do the sinful things that you do and what are the root causes of your problems. And even if you don't believe in Jesus, that's what you have to do. In order to become a happy, well-adjusted person with purpose and with ideas that actually produce something for the people around you, you need to do some work in your own headspace, in your own mind, to figure out who you are, to figure out the things that have happened to you, the mistakes that you've made, and how that affects the way that you think and act towards other people,
ultimately.
And to ultimately change them and become a better person. So when you say, oh, I'm just going to take some Xanax to calm me down and even me out, you're just putting a patch over the problem, over the psychological problem. So, yeah, take some Xanax to help you calm down and even out, but then go see a shrink or go do some personal reflection and understand what it is in your own mind that's causing these problems.
Yeah.
So you have to do the hard... See, personal reflection is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Psychoanalysis is hard.
I think that's why Christianity is so hard for some people, too, because I think a big part of it is that... Like, a lot of the West in the church, we're like, not too much of that. Show up on Sundays, mm-hmm. put $10 in. You're good. You're a Christian. But I think when you get into the meat of it, you find out that it's really freaking hard. Like you said a couple episodes ago, I think, on Give That Some God,
mm-hmm.
when you were like, no, as a Christian gets older, they're probably going to get more depressed
and
more upset.
Absolutely.
Because the more you reflect, I think it's more coming to terms with like that space that Paul got to, where he was like the thorn in the flesh. Like, I keep doing these things, and this, like, that's what you find when you reflect, because you're never going to be perfect down here, right? No. We always have our flesh, and we always have us that's going to be, I don't want to do it God's way, yeah, ever, right? Yeah. We're never going to want to do it God's way.
Sure.
Just won't happen. And I think that's a hard thing to get to. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard thing to understand and digest as a part of moving forward.
Yeah.
Even in that context of Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how I applied it. But great thoughts. I'm glad you had a great trip. I'm glad you're safe. I didn't get
I was any, never not safe. It was, you know.
I didn't get any weird phone calls. I'm glad you didn't get any battles with dragons. And
yeah, I pretty much stayed off my phone the entire time.
Am I your emergency contact? I probably...
No, I think I missed my mom.
Okay.
For, like, work. But...
Well, but I mean in, like, personal life. Do you have anything on your phone that shows a number to call or anything?
No, just, like, phone
yeah,
book.
Yeah, forget that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably the first in your phone book, right? If I'm Addison in the phone book.
Yeah, I think so.
So, if... What I'm trying to get at is if police found your mangled body just riddled with mm-hmm. needles and pills and blood and tequila...
I don't drink tequila.
And they started... Well, that's why this situation's so weird. But if they... And they started going through your phone book... In an attempt to
first
contact.
Off, it was murder. If I have tequila in my system, it was murder.
Okay, I'll note that. And now our listeners will note that. Mm-hmm. If the toxicology report ever comes back that Matt had tequila in his system.
Avenge me!
Murder, absolutely. Anyway, so they find your body, they start going through your phone book. I would be probably the first person. They would just dial and say, do you know a Matt Hume?
Yeah.
There's Cheez-Its and peanut butter everywhere. We need you to come down and identify the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just look at the mass and be like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's him. And then I would ask those guys, if one of them made a joke or made me laugh or had a good thought there at the scene,
uh-huh.
I'd
uh-huh.
be like, how would you feel about spending an hour with me once a week?
Yeah.
Just right away.
You know what podcasting is?
Back on the saddle.
Yeah. No in memoriam for me.
Well, we do. We already talked about what we do for your
a best
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Okay.
And then I'd package all the episodes as one big download because it's so big no one would ever download it. And I'd be like, there's Matt Hume. Just download him if you want him.
It's the lasting testament to my life.
Yeah, his 30-some-odd episodes of Give That Some Thought mm-hmm. where he ranted about drugs and penises and
Cheez-Its and healthcare and hobby lobby.
And social injustice.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of social injustice out there.
There... I would venture so far as to say there's more social injustice than there is social justice, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyways, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah, pretty much winding down.
Corporations are people?
Absolutely. To heaven? Corporations are
yes.
definitely going to heaven.
I believe I will be in heaven.
Well, depending on how much money they make. The more money you make, the better.
The better chances of heaven. I think that's
better
true anyways,
heaven.
Though. The church
yeah.
has told us that for years.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, corporations are people. They're going to heaven. Man had a conversation with a frog,
mm-hmm.
which I will, like I said, post on our social medias. What else did we cover? Jesus is not an American, and he would not ask you to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
I highly doubt it.
Yep. Would not.
I think that's about everything. Oh, Barack Obama, yeah. Did you agree with that survey, though?
That he's the worst president?
Since World War II?
I think every president since...
Since, like, Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah. Well, I'm ever...
Well, you know Thomas Jefferson had that pipe of THC in it, so you're willing to give him that.
Sure. Him and Washington both.
Yeah.
Well,
to come up with a document like the Declaration of Independence, you had to have
yeah.
a
Yeah. I think pretty much every president since Eisenhower has been pretty much crap. So.
So then, yes, you would agree.
Yeah.
Since World War II, yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily rank it, though, but yeah. All right. That's the recap. I'm at Addison Todd on Twitter. Matt's at @suburban_wizard. What's going on with your password, by the way?
Yeah, I tried
can you
putting
reset?
In password, like but I can reset it. I just have to like put in the right one because I have like four different passwords that I use for everything, and I have to find the right one.
I don't know that I should air this. Like, I should cut this out as to how bad your security policy is.
But, I mean, there are...
Only four passwords, by the way.
Yeah.
People who want to steal
possible
Matt Hume's
passwords.
Identities.
Yeah. There's not enough personal information out there for them to steal anything legitimate from me.
Yeah. Anyways,
you could hack my Twitter account or, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. Or my
Anyways,
email, but, yeah.
Get Matt's at @suburban_wizard on Twitter, which he'll fix. I'll hold him to that
mm-hmm.
and complain about it enough. I'm at Addison Todd. The show is at Give Thought Show, tripodbroadcasting.com/givethatsomethought, facebook.com/givethatsomethought, where you won't see ads. We talked about that.
Well, at least not for us.
Yeah. Well, you'll see a ton of ads on Facebook, yeah.
But well, absolutely. Yeah. All the time.
That's where I'll post the picture of the frog. I'll post it on Twitter and things like that. But anyways, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody out there in audio land.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.